Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Welcome to Forever Giants, the podcast. I'm Rennell Brooks Moon. In today's episode, I sit down with Andres Torres at the beautiful Toomey Cellars in Calistoga. The story of the San Francisco Giants is legendary. In my years as the official voice of the Giants, I've had the privilege to meet countless players and personalities whose passion for this team is only matched by their love for the game. Their stories are intertwined within the fabric of this team's history. They are forever Giants. Andres Torres' 11-year MLB career could be defined by his speed. He was fast, very fast. Growing up in Puerto Rico, he wanted to be a track star. But at Miami-Dade Community College, his speed made him a threat on the bases and an exceptional outfielder.
Torres, a switch hitter.
He was a fourth-round draft pick by the Detroit Tigers in 1998. But he would spend his career bouncing around between the majors and minors, his focus unknowingly marred by ADHD. He began to treat his condition 2 years before coming to the Giants.
Going back on it, Francoeur, and goodbye, home run.
And in 2010, Andres Torres helped them win their first World Series in San Francisco. I am so excited to be joined today by my friend Andres Torres, forever Giant. We're here at the beautiful Toomey Cellars in Calistoga. Thank you for taking time to sit down with me.
Thank you for having me here. It's an honor, and thanks, everyone.
Thank you. You know what? I actually see you more now than when you were playing.
Yes.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Right?
100%.
We used to go to the same gym.
Yes.
Ran into you at the gym. We ran into you in Puerto Rico.
Yes.
And you treated us to a fantastic Cuban dinner, which was amazing.
Ropa Vieja in Condado, Puerto Rico.
Oh, it was the best time. I cherish those memories. And then we just missed each other in Cooperstown last month. You were there. I was there. I never saw you.
I know. I was waiting because one of the fans told me Rennell's here.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I got to say hi and Tommy and everyone, Tony. And I'm like, you know what, but I miss you guys.
Because
I was waiting. You know, when you go have breakfast and I'm like, let me wait. You know, I'm going to wait a little bit. Maybe she's calming down. No, but I tried. But the good thing is that I knew you were there.
Yeah.
And we had a great time. It was a great experience.
Tell
right?
me about your experience.
Amazing.
Was that your first time going?
I wouldn't go earlier.
That was the first time?
Yes, first time.
Tell me, what was it like for you?
Wow, it was like, you know, because, you know, it's the history when everything starts. And you're like, what? Because, you know, I started playing the game very late. And
yeah.
then I'm like, you know, it was very interesting. And, wow, we bring a lot of great memories. And you see this guy from back in the 1980s, in the 18s,
yeah.
you know, way back. Yeah. Sorry. And it was incredible,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah. And it's an amazing, cute little town, too.
Yeah.
Cozy little town. Well, listen, you are still a fan favorite. And that has a lot to do with what you did in the 2010 postseason. But we'll get back to that in a little bit. But let's talk about Puerto Rico. And it's one of my favorite places. And my heart breaks for what has happened after the hurricane. Was your family affected by it at all?
I have my family, my mom, family, they were good. I have a lady, she's very close to me. Her name is Carmen. Her house was completely almost like flooded with all the water. They put a car and they got to sleep in a car because they put it on top of something. And the thing is, it was a little bit tough. I lost a friend,
Did
Angel.
You?
His name is Angel. He was a policeman from my hometown. He got out of work at 5 a.m, you know, after he's a police, and he were going home, and there's this river called Rio Culebrina. It's a river, so he was passing, and then a pickup passed, but there's water from the river coming out, so when he passed, this big wave of water took him, and
he
lost
sorry.
His life, and I know her son, his ex, all his family, and one of those things, right?
I'm so sorry.
Yeah,
I'm so sorry for your loss. And there's still,
We can still help out. We need to go and support the tourism there, right? That's the one thing we can do. And trust me, if you've never been, you will not regret the decision. It's a beautiful island. The people, the culture, the food, which you treated us to. Yeah.
You're right. Thank you. Thank you. It means a lot to me because, you know, like you said, it's a beautiful island, good people, hard workers. And like I said, like... It was like seeing that is I went back and it was sad, you know, but we stand up. We moving forward too.
That's
we gotta also move forward, right?
That's Puerto Rico strong.
Yes.
Puerto Rico strong. Well, tell me about growing up in Puerto Rico. As a little boy, you didn't want to be a baseball star. You wanted to be an Olympic track star. Is that true?
Yes, yes. I loved to run when I was a kid. My love and passion was running, and I always, you know, the way I grew up, I told people running no shoes, climbing trees, jumping, running in river non-speed, and chasing chickens and all this stuff. Yes, it's true. I always said that because that's how I grew up, and I used to climb trees. So I developed that athleticism. I was at first grade. I was like, there's a competition, and I raced with guys in fifth, sixth grade. I beat them. So I'm like, I just like to go out there and I sprint.
Where did that come from? Did you just always have that in you? Or?
Yes, I think so.
Really?
I couldn't stay still, so.
That's true. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. Yeah,
so
exactly.
I need to imagine.
Yeah.
So how I developed that.
Yeah.
Also, I loved track and field.
Well,
and
it totally
running.
Paid off for you because your speed was one of your weapons as a ball player.
Yes,
right?
That was one of my weapons, my defense and my speed.
Yeah.
As a hitter, I was, you know, I thought I wasn't the best hitter in the world, but I,
you
their situation.
At it,
you know, I in 2010, I got a few walk-off hits and, you know, and regular. And then, you know, we come through. I struggle a little bit when we play against Philadelphia, Atlanta. But then, you know what? We got to find a way to come through, too. You know, like those situations, no matter in life, we're gonna be in situation. But we got to find a way because there's always ways that we can go and try to figure out. So I was able, you know, also with the not just it's about me. It's about all my teammates and people give me good advice. It's about good people. It's not about just
about relationships,
about everyone,
and
right?
Yeah.
Just be real, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was good.
So you're running, you want to be a track star.
Yes.
Not thinking about baseball. Did you play a little bit as a kid?
I played a little bit, but nothing. I played a little bit, but no. It was like I just like to run.
You just
and,
like to run.
Yeah.
You weren't even thinking about baseball.
No. And then my elementary school, it was a uphill and downhill. So I'm training every day, running, jumping, going on top of the roof of the my classroom and jumping around.
What?
So I couldn't stay still. So
I am exhausted hearing you say this, really.
Non-stop. Sorry.
So as you mentioned, you were a late bloomer when it comes to baseball. You were like 18? Is that when you
No.
Before that.
Yeah,
when did you start playing baseball? How did that happen?
That happened that I was in a baseball field in Puerto Rico, right? And I was chugging balls and this guy came to me and he said, "What's your name?" I say, "My name is Andres." He said, "You're very fast." I said, "Thank you." And then he said, "Hey, fill this card." He handed me a baseball card that said New York Yankees. And I'm like,
"What?
Oh my God, I can be a baseball player."
That's the first time.
That's what it came into my mind.
And the Yankees of all teams, right? Like,
yeah, it came to me, to my mind, soul, spirit. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to be a baseball player. From that day, changed my life. If I tell you, because I just went and I said, you know what? I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to work. And that day, I grabbed a bat and I started practice. And I'm like, I'm going to be a baseball player.
Uh-huh.
And I keep doing my just trying to, I just, I don't know. It clicked in me, inside of me. And it drive me that I'm like, I'm going to make it.
Yeah.
It's not going to be. I always said, let me think about it.
That's okay.
it's not. I always said I got a saying that is, it's gonna be hard, but it's not gonna be impossible.
That's perfect.
You know, it's not gonna be. Yeah, it's gonna be hard. Of course, it's gonna take time. Of course, you're gonna take sacrifice, but it's not impossible.
That's perfect, and that's life, right?
Yes,
that's
it is.
Life.
You know that we go through. So many, God put you in so many tests and never give up, because at the end he will never will leave us alone.
That's right.
Seriously.
That's right.
It's happening. It's just things happen in our life, right? It just make us stronger.
That's
and
right.
Just those spirits we carry, and then we got kids and family and share it and laugh, enjoy it, and a little bit of everything, right?
A little bit of everything, yes. So tell me about your college career. I know you had a coach at Miami-Dade that
Steve Hurts.
Yes, tell me about him. He really had a huge impact on
you.
Yeah,
he got a great impact. You know, he was there, and he started telling me how to low, you know, get your hands back and your front foot like that. So I just got to start practice everything he teach. So I, during my college, I have a mattress. I put into the wall. I bring baseball, and he soft toss inside.
Oh, my goodness.
My.
That's bananas.
I'm there, you know, hitting in my room with a mattress right there, like hundreds of swings.
Oh, I love that.
You know, you get it done, no excuses.
I love that.
Right? You know, so you get it done like that, so imagine.
Yeah.
So I practice inside.
You practice inside?
Yes.
That's phenomenal.
No excuses.
Right. And he also, is he the one that taught you how to switch hit?
Switch hit, that was in Puerto Rico. I got a friend of mine, Georgie, he loved baseball, and he took me to this guy. He have a store, you know, and the thing is, he used to be a professional baseball player, and I was like 17. He said, hey, you should learn how to switch hit.
Okay.
It's gonna help you.
Uh-huh.
Because you fast, and I'm like, forget about it. Anything you tell me, I try. Not everything, but you know, like I said, you know what? I'm gonna try to hit from the left side.
Right.
So I start practice.
And it started to work.
But at the beginning, my coach told me my first year,
don't do it?
I don't do it because, you know, I wasn't that good. But I'm like, you know what? I love him, respect him. It's not what he thinks. I'm going to show him that I can get better. So I be I show up in January, my swing was better because I was nonstop.
Right.
I keep working and keep working. Swing here, swing there, batting tee, soft toss, practice everywhere.
I mean, you wanted this.
What?
You really wanted this.
Can I tell you? You want me to tell you a true story?
I do.
I go to the hotels, and I take, you know, when you got the, you know, in the room, you take, you know, when you're going to close the window, you have a stick.
Yeah.
So I took them to practice my swing. I get it.
So like
I need to practice with something. I know you say, Andres, it is what it is.
Well,
used to do that.
That's why you're
to practice my swing.
That's why you were so inspirational to so many. That's why we love you, because you never took no for an answer. To me, it's like if somebody told you you're not that good at it, you are just, you're gonna work that much harder, right?
Toothbrush. Some guys do it, ask them. They probably don't want to say it, but if they keep it real, some do, like me. And I know others that I hear we talk the story about. You got it. You got to practice. You got to hold something. Maybe you want to work in the grip, or let's see, this guy want to have a big grip. You know, they have the grip more. They grip with the palm. So, you know, I know it's a toothbrush, but it's more, you got to use your fingers, right? So you got to be more, so it can be useful too.
Exactly.
We talk baseball and talk about grip and use more the fingers. So I know it sounds, but you see, you're applying a different type of movement and feeling into your grip so you can be more effective.
No, it totally makes sense. So let's talk about you getting drafted and your journey to the majors, because I know your minor league journey was difficult. You were up, you were down, you had injuries, free agency. So you were first drafted by
Detroit Tigers, fourth round.
Talk to me about that.
First year I went to college, I got drafted by the Marlins, Florida Marlins, in the 23rd round.
But you didn't want to sign them.
No, I just stay another year in college. I want to get better, so I stay another year, and I get drafted in the fourth round with the Detroit Tigers. Then I went play, you know, and just that's when everything started. So when I go to Detroit, I get there around 7:30, and it was 9 p.m., 10 p.m. I stay there. They say, hey, this guy, we got to take him. Seriously, it happened because I was there and I didn't want to leave. And there's time I'm swinging and it was hot and I'm almost like passing out. It happened, I swear.
Wow.
You know, I'm there swinging, but it's hot. But at the same time, you're like, I just love it.
You couldn't stop yourself.
I just couldn't stop. And there's one time I got to stop a little bit. I was all dizzy because I'm like,
oh my God.
Imagine all day and it was night too.
Yeah, you're doing a lot there.
But okay. It was good. It was worth it, right?
Yeah. Now, I know within the, or let me know if this is true, within the Detroit organization, there were two fellow Puerto Ricans that kind of took you under your wing. Carlos Beltran.
Yes.
And Luis Alicea.
Alicea.
Yeah, tell me about
that
their
was,
influence
I was
on
in
you.
The majors with Detroit Tigers.
Okay.
Carlos Beltran and Luis Alicea, they play with the Kansas City Royals.
Okay.
So, you know, I was a rookie. We play against them. And one time we had a game and Carlos, hey, and Alicea, we got to talk to you. I say, hey, what's your, Andres, you got to load. And I'm like, what? You got to load. You got to get something back. You're just going forward. And I'm like, load. Because, you know, I signed in baseball, but all I care was about running and speed.
You didn't care about hitting.
I didn't know that there's had to be loading and all that stuff. I'm going to be honest with you. I just didn't know. So I just off-season training, track, running. And even, I think it was in 2001 or two, I used a track and field spike shoes to play, and they're like, you cannot play with that. You know why I did it? Because I want to have a lighter spike. Because in baseball, the shoes at that time, 10 ounces, 11, 12, that's too heavy. Yes. If you want to get into the line faster, you got to have lighter spikes,
to have
right?
That speed, yeah.
So I start using a couple games until, you know, they are like, gray, you know, like kind of like, platinum, I don't, they look like very, you know, not like, but you know, that type of material because they, silver, like a silver color, right?
Yeah.
And I just, they calls and they like, what type of shoes are those? And I'm like, yeah, you know, I don't hide it. Until, but then one guy, one of my friends say, he's using, they say, you cannot use that, you know. But at least I play couple with them in a good way. So they, you know,
you
it is what it is.
You did what you had to do, right?
It is what it is, yeah.
And you had great guys around you, it seems, that helped you out.
Great, they helped me out. They told me about loading. And then I start asking. You got to ask people. I ask everyone, what do you do for healing? How you load this? Everyone talk about separation, other, when to start and get the low here, hands higher, lower. You got to figure out open, close stance, high kick, toe tap, get your front foot down early, a little bit in one move, in, you know, whatever you want to, everybody load different, right?
Yeah,
there's
yeah.
guys like to load different ways. So I got to figure out that because I start playing so late. So imagine I signed 98 from 98 to 2002. I practiced, but I didn't care about, oh, I need a low like that. I didn't know.
You didn't even know.
Getting the low and the right mechanics into the swing, it helped you because that's how you recognize the ball and the pitching and where you got to look, the release point, and when to start making all the, applying all this movement into the swing. Mm-hmm. So it's like it's a science. I know people say, it's easy to see, but it's, when you're there, make it happen. It's even harder.
Yeah.
Right?
Easy to see, harder to do.
So that's why you got to keep practice.
Yeah.
And you got to apply drills. And that's, it was in 2002 because those years I just like running and I played. But, and I have guys that teach me that in the game. You always got good people that really want to help you. And I always listen. And in baseball, to be honest with you, I have a lot of friends because I always was one of those guys that I'm like, I want people see me as who is Andres, the real Andres. I play baseball, I respect the game, but one day they say, you know what, this guy is, try to be honest, I try to be a good guy and respectful and loyal and all that stuff.
Well,
and I've been so lucky to have, you know, incredible friends in through the baseball game, because at the end it's you, all you take is your memories, how these people treat you and how is like all this stuff, right? It's so beautiful. I'm so blessed and lucky, and
you had a lot of help along the way.
Yes,
that's so great.
Yes,
that's so great. So 2000, what do you remember about that? Was like your best minor league season. What do you remember about that season? Because you batted 296 and you led the league with stolen bases. You had 65 stolen bases. Who are you, Ricky Henderson? What is happening here? What's going on?
I just, that was in Florida State League. I play and I just, things start, all that hard work start paying off. And that's what I told everyone, hard work paid off, mm-hmm. sooner, later, but you always, and that's where I start hitting the ball good. I steal 65 bases, and I'm like, wow, you know?
Yeah.
It motivates you, because at the same time, you're like, wow, you see, it's working.
It's starting to click for you.
It starts clicking, and it's,
yeah.
And then you get more excited, and you get more like, I want to work more, you know? And I was like that. That's
yeah.
the way I was, and I just get pumped, and I wake up next day, boom, ready to go.
Yeah.
Put my... Vámonos. I love it, you know?
And you're off and running at this point.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, yes.
So your major league debut is in 2002. You get your first hit on August 17th. Do you remember who you hit that off of?
CC Sabathia.
Vallejo's own CC Sabathia, everybody.
A lot of respect. Amazing pitcher. A lot of respect. I know I my first base hit was against him, but that guy, oh, my God.
Tough, and he's still tough. Yeah.
97, 98.
That's ridiculous.
I faced him. 97, 98, lighter, like, but we're talking about with speed, because, you know, I know it's 97, of course, but there's, that ball is jumping off his fingers, arm, like, very quick, very explosive.
Jeez.
You know, and I'm like, wow, big, like, 6'7", what
yeah,
is,
he's
great
enormous.
Guy, great guy, great yeah. guy, always a nice
he
guy.
He really is.
Yeah, great.
Gives back to the community, much like yourself, a great humanitarian.
Course, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, also, was it in 2002, and you've been very open about this, your diagnosis with ADHD, is that when that happened?
Yeah, I get diagnosed because, like, in Detroit Tigers, they see me going early, and then it was at night every day, and they're like, hey, you know, and then also I miss signs. I have problems missing some signs, because, you know, when you have attention deficit disorder, one of the biggest problems is your focus level. So I had, that was my biggest challenges, you know, how to stay focused, and I want to do so many things in one time, so that's where always been, and I've been working, but I did I get diagnosed 2002. Detroit make me go to Detroit, have some exam. They say, hey, we want you to have a test, and they did a test, and I test that, you know, I had this condition, but at the same time, I was diagnosed, and I'm like, I didn't know about it, so I keep
right.
playing. I was
right.
like, keep playing. I just like, oh, no, I took medication, I medicate myself for a little bit, like a week, and then I'm going to need this, and I just keep going.
You kept
and
going.
It was 02, 03, 04, 05, it was like this, up and down. I changed my swing every single day.
Right.
I change swings, my swing. I try to, if you ask me in a funny way, I try almost every hitter you can imagine style. Ishiro, Baribon, Albert Pujols, Carlos, and you can name all of them. I knew how to do all of them. I remember there's a guy called Batista, Dominican. He played with the Toronto Blue Jays, and that was back, I don't know, 2002, 2003. He used to hit like this sometimes. I was in there's a game with the Orioles. You know, and I went to the cage. Everybody, you know, after the game is there. So I took the bat and I said, oh, wow, I feel pretty good. And then he used to hit like, you know, with his hand. And then he hit the ball like that. I tried that. I try every style you can imagine.
Right.
I think that's part of the, I call it that, you know, the, I was like that.
Yeah.
And people say, why are you changing? I'm like, in my mind, I wish I know why. Because, but at the same time, I don't feel bad about it.
Right.
That I have this condition because I have, my kids, my family, my friend love me, and I'm like, why I gotta feel bad about
it? Exactly.
People have to love you the way you are. You know, we are, of course, every human is different, right? We want things one way, but if we're trying to find a way to understand each other and mm-hmm. respect things, mm-hmm. everything's so right.
Yes,
so
yes.
Everything's cool.
Everything's
yeah,
all good.
So, yeah.
By the way, Andres, you're the first guest I've had on this show that actually gets up and gives us a demonstration. That's fantastic.
I should have done that?
No, you should. It's fantastic.
You tell me if I'm doing something.
No, are you kidding? That's what the viewers want to see.
I'm
that
sorry,
was awesome.
You
that
see,
was awesome.
I never stay still, so I got it.
Right. I know. But getting back to your ADHD, you really, in the beginning, you didn't really embrace it, right? It
no,
took you a
I
few
didn't.
Years.
And then years go, and I was up and down, changing here, changing there. So what happened was, in 2007, I didn't have a job because 06, I had a terrible season in AAA with the Minnesota Twins. I hit 236. I was in the bench, and it was hard to find a job. So I remember I called the Detroit Tigers, and I was thinking to go independent league in Mexico, go independent league. Or my wife, like, Jungo, we got to go to school. We got to go finish. But at the same time, I told my wife, hey, don't give up. I'm not going to quit. I make a call. I took the phone, and I called the minor director from the Detroit Tigers in 2007. And I told them, hey, I'm looking for a job, you know, and I just don't have a job right now. They say, hey, we're going to make a trade. If we make a trade, we call you, buddy. There's a job. It's going to be in Double A. Anything can be in Rookie League.
Right. You just want to get back.
I want to be there.
Yeah.
No excuses. I got to go to Double A, Single A. I got to go to Rookie. It starts from the beginning. That was my mentality. Mm-hmm. So what happened? God is beautiful. That the trade happened. Mm-hmm. Trade happened. And they gave me the opportunity to go to Double A. And I started in Double A. But I started struggling 0-for-30 hitting. And I told them, I'm quitting from the left side. I'm stopping because, you know, my head keeps switching here and there. But one of the coaches, the minor league coordinator, he knew me from back in 02. He said, Andres, come here. You have a condition. You have to start medicating. Meditate. Also, you know, just because my kids, you know, I know about this. Give it a try, please. And I'm like, okay, because, you know, I was 0-for-30, think about, and then you start thinking, but at the same time, keep working.
Yeah.
So I start, you know, medicating myself. I had a big season that year.
Yeah, you did.
Things start clicking.
Yeah, you did.
I was more, you know, more focused, and I was more like here and settled, like being everywhere.
Yeah.
And then I had that year, after I was 0-for-30, I finished hitting like 290 something, like 15 triples, and, you know, everything turned.
Yeah, that was not a coincidence.
Because, you know, I know sometimes things going through our head, but at the same time, we got to eliminate them and go forward,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. And what I so appreciate is that you've been so open about it, because I'm sure a lot of kids watching now and even adults have suffered through it as well. And for you to share your experience, you know that even if you're just helping one person, you're doing an amazing thing, right?
Yes, and after I did my documentary, I remember I went to different stadiums and people, kids, family came to me and I said, thank you for what you are doing. I see you. You got the same, and I'm here. I see you. Yes, it's fine, and I want to be like that. You know, people, it's about love. You know, who cares? You know, like, I see it that way. I like I said, I'm happy. I've been so blessed. Mm-hmm. It is what it is,
yeah.
Right? It's fine. It's okay. Why we got to feel bad about what? Yeah. Right?
Yeah. And it really turned things around for you, and that kind of brings you to the Giants in 2009, and you were a reserve outfielder that first year, but it was the 2010 season that was a breakout year for you.
Yeah.
Right?
It was, you know, all the experience, you know, what I talked about earlier, all the experience you go through the minors, when you go through all this, you know, they make you stronger. And when we go to the Giants, if you ask Bosch, he always said that I say hi too many times, but it's better. You gotta show respect to your teammates every day.
We wanna
have fun.
Yeah.
And then we put some music and I was dancing, you know, all that. So I like to dance, I like to have a good time.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You wanna bring that energy, right? We wanna have fun, and then we believe in ourselves, and we were the underdogs, and we just have fun,
yeah.
You know, right? It's about you, you know, it's about having fun,
yeah.
Go out there. But when they say game on,
you gotta be ready.
We gotta be ready, because
at
the end, even that we were the underdogs, look, it was San Diego, we all the respect. Last game, we came through, and the Texas is gonna be the Giants. You think it's gonna be that easy? With all their respect.
Yeah.
This is like someone say, you're gonna go to your house. It's not that easy.
No.
You know, that's the mindset. We gotta compete,
yeah.
With all their respect. You respect, I respect the game, I respect the players, but when they say you gotta go play. I always said I wasn't the best player, but I give everything I got out there, you know, and to become a world champion, you gotta go out there and play as a team.
Mm-hmm. for a kid that didn't even want to play baseball, you ended up a world champion.
And then you there, you, oh my God, I'm in the majors, you know. I'm in the majors, and I'm in the World Series. Can you believe that? I'm like,
and that's I was amazing,
like, and
right?
You know what was so funny? I'm like, I need to hit a homer in the World Series because, you know, let's keep it real here, right? We're not gonna be like, oh, you know, no. Hey, imagine you in the World Series, and you know, you want to win the World Series, but I'm like, I need to hit one home run.
You want to have a moment in the World Series.
One homer, and I'd be happy, and I'm like, I need to get, and I that get in my head. I need to hit a homer. So in the third game, this guy was throwing me fastball here, and I'm there, and I'm seeing, I'm seeing it so good, right?
Yeah.
And then the third, but I think, I don't know, was 2-1, 2-0. No, I remember you throw me. I'm like, then, you know, you run into the bases.
Right? You're not
homer,
sure.
And, you know, but this
you're
is,
not I, even sure if it's out, right?
Yeah, but, yeah. You know, it went out. When I say went out, you know, I couldn't go, but inside, I gonna be like it was there.
Yeah.
Like, yes, I did it. You know, like all that stuff because you want to do
yeah.
it, right?
Yeah, you had dreamed of
but,
that
but
moment.
But inside, that was inside. I just keep it doing, you know, I'm running. But inside, I'm like, ah! You know, celebrating because we all do, right? We all do.
That was amazing.
I believe we all do,
right.
Yeah.
And you're right. Y'all were underdogs. Nobody expected it to happen.
Remember,
and you played a huge part in that. You had an amazing postseason.
Hey, how about when Edgar Renteria said that he was going to hit a homer?
Knock it off.
That's amazing. We get to the field. You know, you get to the field, you focus, you go to the field, win the clubhouse. He said, hey, kid. He called me kid. Kid, are you activated? I'm active. All 24-7. I'm activated 24-7. Yeah. So I was like that, right? So he said, hey, I'm going to hit a homer today. And I'm okay. I believe, but you know, like you told me, and then.
Right.
He's telling me like that. And then we go before the game, we always get swings, you know. We practice soft toss, others do batting right. practice, so we're doing soft toss, and I'm feeling good. I'm pumped, you know, we're serious, you know how it is. You get, even you get in that cage, you feeling like you there, you know, ready, like the focus right there, right? The thing is that he said, I'm gonna hit a homer, remember. Then in the sixth inning, he's there, bim, bim, bim. And then balls, you know, you see the ball, they like, but it just, I don't know, this time stay longer.
Right.
Sometimes on his covers, I don't know, it was because it was the worst series. You looking and I'm, balls.
It was like slow motion.
And you see the outfielders, they want it, bam, bam. And then still, boom, ball, and I just imagine, ball out. I go crazy, I start like, I'm like, what are you, que tu me dijiste? In Spanish, uh-huh. You told me you was gonna do it. And I just get out of, imagine yeah. that, right?
Yeah.
That
yeah.
was impressive. That, think about it. Called it twice.
That
no
moment.
Once.
Yeah, that moment goes down in Giants history
ball
for
gone.
Sure. Yeah.
And I start, he coming in. I mean, you told me he was gonna do it. Me dijiste que lo iba a hacer. Yeah, I was celebrating. I was so pumped and I was like crazy. Then game's over. I got like 30 reporters on top of me and I'm like, what's going on here? So they hear me, but I'm in the World Series. There's cameras and microphone everywhere, but you think I remember that?
Yeah.
So yeah. That was so cool. Everyone came to me. They asking me about what happened. So I'm like, okay, what he was.
You're enjoying the moment.
Amazing. John Garner, when he pitched.
Oh.
Timmy.
Yeah.
McCain. Yeah. Like all these. Wilson, Romo, yeah. Garcia.
You had some amazing Hoff, teammates.
Buster, Benji, yeah. Uribe. Wow.
Yeah.
Ishikawa, Nate Shirhoff, yeah. Cody Ross.
That's quite,
Pat Burrow,
quite a roster.
Aubrey, like all the coaches, Bamban,
yeah.
You know, like yeah. everyone. It was like we were family, you know, and then the guys follow up. I'm glad that, you know, I was one of those guys always being a leader. I call myself with all the respect because it's about show respect, right, to your teammates and to the fans and to the people. I'm big thankful and grateful. And right?
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah, always. And speaking about it being a family, we recently had the reunion for the 2010 team. and we had you guys back at the ballpark, and that was a wonderful ceremony. I mean, the fans loved it. We loved it upstairs in the booth. Tell me how that experience was for you guys.
It was great. It was a great experience, great memories. You know, when you're there playing, you don't really realize, because all your focus is about go win, and you don't see nothing in the outside. But at the same time, it's wonderful, because now you see different, because you in the I'm inside, but I still now seeing from the outside, and then you become more it's more beautiful, it's more real, it's more like what you did, and then and people telling you with love and respect, and that's why I also feel like I want to give back, because if you ask me, I know I played this game, and if I have respect, it's for a lot of the fans. I can't explain, because without fans and people that love the games, who we are. I remember this. I was in Des Moines, Iowa in 2008, and there's start raining, and there's flooding everywhere. So we gotta play baseball with no fans, because all the water around, the flooding, and the thing is that I was like, we playing a game, no fans. Mm. And I always knew it, but I'm like, you look around, imagine 50 guys playing baseball, you know, and with no fans, nothing. Mm. This game is nothing without the fans. I know you're gonna play, have fun no matter what. Of course, we all do. We do. We go play no matter when. But when you playing like this, the way we play, I was there, and I'm like, wow, you know. And that's always, I respect them. And anything a fan, sometimes fans told me, oh, sorry. I say, how you going to say sorry? Never say sorry. Oh, never, never. For me, it's like an offense, because look the time they take to go see us, to the spending hours in the game, sitting in there, and sometimes it's cold, sometimes it's hot, you know, sometimes they're drinking beer, having fun, whatever you want to do, right? So you enjoy it, right? Let's keep it real. But that's what it brings, that's what it makes, and that's as a professional athlete, they are, oh, I have them, like, you know, never, I don't like to deny pictures, anything, because it's about showing respect and love the way they did to me. I want to do for them,
and we feel that, and they feel it, and you, I'm sure you get it back. They love seeing you around the ballpark.
Yeah, I go when I can, and I, like I say, I remember the parade. Tell me about the parade.
Oh, wow. My goodness.
So, you know, they have us on the cars,
the cable cars,
the cable cars, and they have me in one side, and I'm like, I can't be in one side. No, I wasn't gonna say thanks to this here, and I'm gonna forget about this side,
right.
So I get out. I get out, and I start, thanks everyone. Seriously, I was like, I thank every fan. That was, for me, was incredible, because you see them pump, and they like, ah. I remember this kid, he just go like, wah, like that. And he just so pumped. Ah. So he just, you know, thanks. Yeah. It was amazing.
Yeah.
That was another special moment. Be with the fans in the parade and get out, and thanks them, and they give me love. I give them love. We all do, you know, like, it was amazing.
Beautiful.
Right?
It's just beautiful.
Yeah.
So you worked so hard, you know, to get to the majors. Your journey through the minors was a struggle. How hard was it for you to finally leave the game?
It wasn't that hard.
It wasn't?
Because I give everything I had. Everything. I always said, if I don't make it in this game, I'm going to say that I give more than 100%, and I always did that. And I just worked so hard for years, nonstop. Honest, I was like 24/7, nonstop for, 18, 16. I just get like 18 years nonstop.
Yeah.
There's a way that I'm like, I gotta walk away. I gotta spend time with the family. Mm-hmm. My wife always was like, we need to spend more time together. So in 2014, because, you know, in 2011, I had a bone spur on my Achilles. So in 11, 12, and 13, that's what it really caused my career, because I have a bone spur on my Achilles, so it caused inflammation. I got to sleep with a boot. I hurt my foot. And then it was like, I got to sleep with a boot every day. You know, and then my footy I got was powerful, but then, you know, I hurt it in a way that I couldn't, you know, because everything when you hit it starts from the ground. You want to have a grip. Yeah. You don't want to get there. You want to make sure you grip. So I lose strength because the injury. And
yeah.
And then I just decided I signed with Boston. And then I just said, I was in AAA. I was playing great. Uh-huh. They were supposed to call me up in 6 games, but in 1 game, I'm like, I realized that I want to be with my family.
During the game, you realized
Yeah,
that.
I just realized. I just make a decision. I just talk to the manager, say, I want to go home. Mm-hmm. I want to enjoy my family. I want to be there. Then I went and spent time with my wife and kids, and I will never regret it.
Absolutely, and it turned out to really be a blessing in disguise because you had some real special quality time with Soani.
Yeah, you met her. She was incredible woman. She
beautiful always, inside and out.
Always there for me.
Yeah.
We started when she was 14. I was 14.
You guys were kids.
She was 14 and I was 15 years old.
You were kids. It's an incredible and her mom
was
love story.
My teacher, so her mom was my teacher even in 8th grade, so I knew her for a long time.
It's a beautiful love story. And I'm so sorry for your loss, but I'm so privileged that I got to know her and spend time
we
with her.
We had a great time, right?
We,
and thank you. You
so
know
good.
What? Thank you because she loved it and we enjoyed it, and that's what it's about.
That's what it's about.
In life, every day, we got to enjoy it. I know we have moments, but we got to find a way, right? And we had a great time,
it
and that's those
so
are
fun.
The memories. I still have pictures
too.
That we took,
it
you
was
know.
So much
and
fun.
Then we ate Ropa Vieja, the Cuban place, Cuban Puerto Rican. The food was great,
it was
right?
Phenomenal.
We had a great time, so that was so cool.
Good.
That
it was so
right,
good.
Great memories,
yes.
And that's what we take, right?
Yep.
And things happen for the reason.
Yeah, but
it's not easy.
No.
It's not easy, but it's not impossible.
That's right.
And
that's
we
right.
get hurt. Oh. She was the love of my life. Mm. And see, and of course I cried because it's love and you gotta let it go. If we keep things inside also, I just let it go.
You have to let it go.
Because then it's like a release too. And mm-hmm. But she was there and what she went through, you know, but she never give up.
No,
never give up.
So
and you know
brave.
What? And I saw her before she passed away. And I'm not a very religious person, but I gotta tell you, this is a true story. Before Soani, you know, she got diagnosed with very aggressive cancers called not midline carcinoma. Very rare, less than 1% get it. And it's the only treatment was a phase 1 clinical trial. So it was very aggressive. But the thing is, before my wife was dying, right? She was breathing so slow and everything. I'm next to her and then she see God and she's like, I'm here. And she started, wait, espérame, wait
wow.
for me. But if I told you how happy I saw her, I'm not, this is real, you know, I don't want you to think and it was so real and even that she was in this moment that, you know, with she never I never, you know, I don't feel sorry. I feel like blessed because I saw how happy she was to go to her next chapter or whatever, anything you wanna everybody think different, right? But so happy she was. And then she said, like, bye. Like, wait. Me espérame.
Oh,
and then she started, bye. And then she gave me 5 like that.
Oh.
And she told me, like, you the best. I love you. And she said goodbye. And then she just, and I had that. I got to see a positive.
That's
and
beautiful.
It's beautiful. And
it's
then,
beautiful.
You know.
And she was at peace.
Yes. And also, you know, I always told her, I married you again. I always told her that.
Oh.
So I think it was like 3 days, 4 days before she passed away. You know, we Catholics and, you know, the priest went to do her confession. And the thing is that he did her confession and said, hey, I always told her I will marry her again. And he's like, okay, call me tonight. Call me. So I call him. And the thing is, around 9:30 p.m., and I'm like, I gotta call him because I know how she was, you know. I know this is something that we're talking about days or And I never lose faith. Let's be real, okay? With a lot of respect. And the thing is that he show up around 10:15 p.m. I'm here. I bring the book. Let's do it. So I remember I get in my knees. Oh. And, you know, I got a flower. I took, you know, like, this is the flower. He said, get in your knees. So I put the flower. And so we did both, renew everything. And that was so beautiful, you know, and I had that opportunity,
that's
right?
Such a gift. That's
even,
such
and
a gift.
We survived. Real love, nothing can hurt it. Nothing can, no, it's so strong. Nothing can beat it. Like, you know, we went through a lot.
You and did.
It was beautiful, you know, it was very nice. And but I also went what she felt through. I went what she went through, and it's not easy. And all these people have this condition. I'm with them in and out and in every angle. And I put their self, but we never can give up. We got to keep fighting. I went through this. Mm-hmm. If I tell you what I went through, I felt stuff that I feel like they was tagging me, see her suffer. And, you know, and then, you know, she don't want people suffer for her. So if you talk to her, she tell you, I'm fine.
Right.
Cause, and that's how she was. Right. And I, at the same time, I gotta respect her, what she asked me, don't say. And people ask me, oh, she's doing good. But at the same time, I'm there, and you know, I'm her husband. You know, you communicate, you talk about all this stuff, and
Well, it was a blessing. You had a wonderful love story. I mean, there are so many people that would love to have the romance that you all had, and to have that final gift with her. So again, we're all so sorry for your loss.
No,
she was such a beautiful soul and a beautiful spirit. How are the kids doing? The kids are big now.
They big, and they doing good. Because I always keep it real with him.
Yeah.
I was so real about telling the truth, because the truth always gonna be the truth.
Set you free.
I gotta tell them. I don't, why I gotta lie, why? They gonna grow, they gonna know. Imagine if, you know, my wife used to tell them, I know, you know, as a mother, you don't wanna worry your kids. Everybody's different, but you know, at the same time, I gotta communicate with my son, Diego Andres, and my daughter, was 4, my son was 13, at that 12, I think 12. But they doing good. I told mommy's with you guys. Maybe she's not here physically, but she's here, talk to her.
Yeah.
It's like we had angels and people that love family members that are with us, but if we don't talk to them because they're not here physically, it's like everything else, right? You gotta, they there, she's looking, and we all have people looking for us, good people that really care, because it's true, you know, and you gotta see life like that. And I'm a big believer that, you know, I feel it. Let me tell you a story. So before my wife passed away, Soani, we went to, in Burlingame, there's a jumping place where you take the kids. So we took Mia, Diego, Miguel Angel. These are nephews and cousins, son, and Soani's brother, her daughter, his two daughters. So we went there, and that's when she passed away. One of my best friends, Omar, said, Jungo, se nos fue, she's gone. I remember, I take a deep breath, wow. Dios mío, and tu mano, God knows what he's doing. Went back there, so I walked to the room. I get into the house, and I look at the room, and I see her. I see her, but she wasn't there. But let me tell you, when I walked, the room smelled different. The smell was totally different. Not even one doubt in my mind what I'm telling you right now, with all the respect. And then I'm looking at her, and she wasn't her, just her body. Even I went close, I couldn't, her soul, the spirit went.
Wow.
Just with God or whatever she was, like she went, she was, and I keep looking at her, and it was so real that I'm like, I don't know, I see it like, if you told me, Andres, you afraid to die, I'm not. I'm sorry that I bring this, but I'm not, because I know there's something beautiful out there. I have no doubt in my mind Yeah. We're here temporarily. I know we don't want to talk about this, but it's going to happen sooner or later. So that's why I said we got to enjoy life every day. We got to be thankful every day and be who we are, right? Life is like that, right? People have, right? Think about it. But
Thank you so much for sharing that, because I know it's so personal for you, but I really appreciate you sharing that. And I hope you feel the love that we all have for you.
Thank you, because I know you was there for me. Yeah. You always told me, Andres, I'm so sorry. But I know you mean it. It's not you tell me, but it's what I felt, that I know you was real and very with love and, you know, with everything, you know, and thanks for that.
Yeah, of course. You know,
of course.
Yeah. Well, listen, we're going to wrap up now and talk about you, Andres Torres, the broadcaster now. What is going on with you, sir? How do you like that?
I like it.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm just be, sometimes speak too fast, but I try to slow it down sometimes, but it's just, they told me, and I'm like, but it's fun.
You're having
fun
a good time.
Because I feel like, you know, like I'm in the game because I'm watching, and you know, and they treat me so nice in NBC. Yeah. All the people work there, it's like family. I just get there, say hi, sit with them, meet, and they make you feel comfortable. It's like everything, the clubhouse, the people you around, like you guys, you know.
That's good.
A good team. I was talking early with the crew. They was telling me that you guys together have a good time, and it's family, right?
Yeah.
And that's when you have that love and, you know, people that is like home, you know, even that, right?
It's, yeah.
Everything become.
Yeah.
I love it. It's so
I'm
good.
I'm so glad. You're a natural at it.
I got to work on it, but it's like everything else, right?
Just
it's
like you worked on your baseball.
And baseball, here. Hands here. My hands back there.
Well, I wish you a continued success
with
that.
Thank you so much.
And thank you for being so open. I mean, you're such an inspiration because you have really lived a life. You have had quite a journey of ups and downs, but when I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, every time I see this man, there's nothing but a big smile on his face, positive energy, and just love emanating from you. You show us how to live life to the fullest every
thank
day.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for being a forever giant and all the great memories that you gave us. Congratulations on being a world champion, even though you wanted to be an Olympian, a track star. And thank you so much for sitting down with me, and hug those kids for me.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.